together.
Where two or more gathered.
Where two or more gathered. Amen. All right, back in Proverbs chapter 14, the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And then in Proverbs chapter 16, and verse 2, and then verse 25, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And then finally in chapter 21, Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 2, said every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. The Lord pondereth the heart. It's only, and I know, I've been on the earth longer than any of you. Maybe Laura's been here longer, I don't know, but not quite as long. It's only the Lord can show a man that he's truly wrong. I've tried to, years ago, I stopped trying to convince men. And most especially, I stopped trying to convince men of the gospel. I tell them of the gospel, I warn them of the gospel, but listen, if you've got to convince a man of the gospel, it's not the Lord.
Amen.
Because God reveals. The gospel is a revealed thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it's interesting because all of these things, these proverbs we read, there's a way men lean to their own understanding. They do that which is right in their own eyes. And they trust a way we all that seems right. But interestingly enough, God says, my ways aren't your ways. Isn't that? All this time we're leaning on common sense and horse sense, and there's a way seems right, and we go and we get an education and we do all. And God says, well, that's good, but my ways aren't your ways.
Amen.
They're not your ways, you see. And it's the reason, this right here, men lean, is the reason that we have wars, disagreements, strife, turmoil. Do you remember in the garden, Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says that Eve saw. And that, boy, that's where it began, right there. She saw. She looked. And the Bible says that her eyes were open. And she did that. What she did was, she did exactly what she did. She did that which was right in her own eyes. She looked at that thing. She goes, well, that looks good. And we do that to this day. That looks good. You see? That looks good. Even Moses. You remember the second time, the first time God told him to smite the rock and bring him water. But the second time, God told him to do something different. He said, just talk to the rock. And what did he do? He hit that thing. And it cost him a trip across the Jordan River. You see that? How often we go off the track that God's laid for us. How often? There's a fellow I work with, and he's got a little whiteboard behind his desk, and he puts all of this, positive thinking stuff and little cute little deals, you know. And he said that, you know, and there was one there the other day, he said, go with the flow. You always go with the flow. And I thought, you know what I remember about that? What parent hadn't said, well, if all the other kids jump off a cliff, are you going to jump off a cliff? Going with the flow, you see. Everybody knows best. Everybody leaning to their own understanding. Everybody doing that which is right in their own eyes. And nobody's going to rule over us. We just won't have it, you see. Just if you turn to the book of Numbers, back in the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 27. Verse 18 through verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit. And lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him. after the judgment of Urim, before the Lord, at his word shall they go out, and in his word shall they come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. Now, if you go from there and you go over the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 and verse 17.
Hebrews 13, 7 and 17.
He said, remember them. Now listen. And I preached on this some last week, and I've got another message on. Remember them which have the rule over you. Now, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to tell you that I could go to any church in Beeville, Texas today, and I could ask them, who has the rule over you? Of course, you're going to get the religious answer. The Lord does. Well, then why did we have Moses? Why did he charge Joshua? Why did he have Eleazar? Remember them which have the rule over you, who've spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Check them out. I mean, test the fruits. Time will tell you. All it takes is a little time, and you know what's going on there. And in verse 17, he said, obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And then finally in Genesis 3:16, I like Genesis 3:16. I've preached for years. If you can't get Genesis 3:16, you can forget John 3:16. You can just throw it out. Because God told the woman, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Y'all see that?
No.
No, I knew it. Well, there's some people that have spiritualized, and there's some that are still blind. But in Ephesians 5 and verse 22, I just said the Lord's got to reveal it. Ephesians 5:22 is just a touch more poignant concerning this subject. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So you can throw all that Lord stuff. Well, you can do that all you want, you see. But no, we won't have it, you see. Now go back to Numbers. Numbers chapter 16. Go and use your Bibles. If you don't use the Bible, it doesn't matter what you or I think. You and I say it. This is how you don't lean to your own understanding. You get your good King James Bible. You read that thing.
What verse are we in, brother?
Numbers chapter 16. The first three verses. Y'all remember this? The rebellion, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, and they took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and they said unto them, here come the Baptist priesthood of the believer, right here, born right here. You take too much upon you, preacher. You just take too much upon you. Seeing all the congregation, we're all holy. See, I've seen this thing. I've been doing this now for 30 years. I've seen it, and I've seen it, and I've seen it. We're all holy, you know. Yeah, holier than thou, I get it. Every one of them. And the Lord's among them. Wherefore then, lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. I didn't call me to preach. You see, I did not call me to preach. Matter of fact, I can show you the scars from running from it. If I were to ask who it is that has the rule over you, I'd wonder at the answers. The religious people say the Lord. I understand that. But God uses men. I'm not telling you I'm to have the rule over you. But bless God, you better find out who does.
Amen.
You better find out who your spiritual leader is, who it is that feeds you spiritually. You better find that out, because the church is a body.
Amen.
Amen. And the body has a head, you see. Most of them are hirelings today. We're all as smart as the next guy, aren't we? All as smart. And you women, are you not as smart as your husband? You really are. I'm not saying you're not. And there's a lot of folks in congregation that's smarter than the preacher. That's okay. That's not a problem. But who's got the rule? Somebody has to be in charge. That's what we preached last week. Who's in charge here? Somebody has to be in charge. If you're ever in the military, you learn that thing right away. Right away. Who's in charge here? Sergeant, who's in charge here? Captain, who's in charge here? And that man that's in charge, he's responsible. We've had a situation this week in a home and a family, and this family's got a lot of problems. And I asked Melissa, I said, "Now, who does this thing fall on?" And what'd you tell me?
The head.
Who is the head?
The husband.
Right, wrong, or indifferent. The husband. They don't fire teams. They fire coaches, you see. And we know it and we use it when we think that we're as smart, you see. Every day showing how smart we are. Doing it our way. What Frank Sinatra sang, I did it my way. Lean into our own understanding, doing that which is right in our own eyes, and going the way which seemeth right. Now, every time I've ever heard from the Lord, truly heard from the Lord, and I prayed early this morning, still dark outside, and I said, Lord, I hear from him, but I don't hear from him in a certain way that I've heard from him before, where he just speaks audibly to me in a voice that no man can understand. And I've not heard. Because we're in the spiritual desert now. We're in a dry place. And you see, that's how God deals with men, you see. And we got to lean into our own understanding, going away which seems right. And every time I've ever truly heard from the Lord, it's been exactly opposite of these things. It's been like, what? You want me to do what? You know, you've heard me say many times, you want to be a preacher? Okay, you want to walk naked for 3 years?
Yeah.
Hey, hello, come on. You want to go bury your underwear at the river? Down there at the New Aces on the side of the bank? And then go dig them up, wear them? Do you want to eat cow dung because you bargained with God because he told you to eat human dung? And you made, God, please, please, please. He said, okay, you can get cow dung. Mm. Mm. I told you the ways of God aren't the ways of man.
Mm-hmm.
And God uses these things.
Mercy.
Can you see?
Mercy.
Every time I've truly heard from the Lord, it's been opposite. Man's ways are not God's ways. Thus daily, and I don't know if this is possible, but it's a term that we use. I say that men miss God. And I've said it, man, I go, oh, I miss God. Well, I don't think that's possible, but it's a phrase that we use. I don't think you miss God. Because everything's going to turn out just like God said. See, God has not conventional wisdom. A parent doesn't have conventional wisdom to a child. We were growing up and we got started getting our own mind. That parent, what? I'm smarter than that. Why do they do that way? You know, we've all seen it. And I preached like a month ago, the four words that no longer exist in society that we grew up with, because I said so. Well, why do I have to do that? Because I said so. And I'm going to tell you, that's the only reason they needed. And we found that out pretty quick. Because I said so. It doesn't sit well, you see. It just doesn't sit well. But that's God's way. It really is. Because I said so.
Amen.
It's the hurdle few men ever clear. Letting go and letting God.
Amen.
And I've preached to men for years and years. Let go the side of the pool. Let go. And I'm going to tell you something. It's more profound than that. It's standing at the doorway of an airplane, and he's telling you to jump out, and you don't have a parachute. It really is. And you've got to do that thing. You have got to do that thing. A man will do it for gain. He'll do all sorts of things. You ever seen the stupid things that people do for money? You see? But he won't do it for God. Any more than a woman will do it for her husband or a child for a parent. No reward, no obedience, you see. Did not even many of his disciples turn from Christ? I used to wonder, said, well, we just don't have many. But I know, you know what Paul said in the end? Y'all remember? He said, only Luke's with me. Only the Apostle Paul. Only Luke is with me. And Christ turned around and he had the 12. And that was it. Why would I ever expect to have more than Christ? I can get more in here. Pee-wee used to always say, well, you got to bring some. I said, Pee-wee, I can fill it when we had the big church. I said, I can fill this thing up. I know how to fill it up. I'm a salesman. I can fill this thing up. But I said, you're going to have to get somebody else to preach to them because I'm not going to do it. I am not going to go gather a bunch of goats and tares and bring them in here. Now, there's going to be some come in, and they have from time to time. But you just keep feeding that green grass, and they'll leave. You don't have to run them off. You just keep feeding the true, pure Word of God, and they'll leave, you see. You see, even those that left Paul and those that left Christ, they were expecting something. They thought something was coming, and they were always looking for a sign. And that's why men jump church to church. I did it, and I finally gave up on it. That's when we first started meeting here, sister, right over there. I just said, that's it. I'm done with it. And a few times, we've taken a day or two off, and I'll go out, Melissa and I will go out and just say, let's go see what's out there. And it's, oh, man, if you think it was bad 30 years ago, it's horrible.
Yes, sir, it is.
It's worse than desert. There ain't nothing. I preached in the first two services. This morning, nursing home, he said, if you drink this water, it'll spring up everlasting life. Your belly's got rivers of living water, and they don't have it, and the people don't have it, and their bellies are dry. And I go, what are you drinking? What God rubbed on me ain't never rubbed off.
Amen.
I got born again in the Spirit of God, became a new creature. I didn't just get religious. I didn't just start going to church. I can't rub that thing off anymore. I can stop being a man. You see? So I don't know what these folks have. They jump churches. And then they jump denominations. And they're leaning to, they saw. And they're leaning to their own under, they it seemed right. And it, you know. You see, that's why Jesus didn't tell them what they wanted to hear.
No.
He didn't tell them what they wanted. We've entered the last days. Told you they've heaped to themselves teachers. And they got it. You know this. Y'all all know this. I'm preaching the choir, you see. And you can look around here and see that thing. Brother David called me this week from Mexico. Brother David and Sister Joan, he's been down there over 40 years, Brother David. And he's on the radio in Pueblo. Pueblo's a town of like 7 million people, I think. I mean, it's a big
city.
And he was living there, but the cartels were extorting him. So he had to move out in the country. But he's on the radio, and they hear the message on the radio. I used to be on the radio. And the people would hear that thing on the radio. They'd hear a little 3-4 minute, 5 minute sermon on the radio and go, oh, man. I've had people come. I remember your step-grandpa came in one time and over the tabernacle, and he said, man, I haven't heard preaching like that since I was a boy. But they don't come back. And then they hear it on the radio, it sounds good. Brother Dave said he gets on the radio and preaches, and they go, oh, my, you know, you hear a taste of that sweet word, and they want to come.
Amen.
But he said, then they tell me to come preach in their church, and he said, they don't even tell me goodbye. And they said, they'd never invite me back. I've been there, done that thing, you see. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itch and ears. The very fall of Lucifer was after such. His pride lifted him up, and he wanted to be like God. And you know, we look at that thing and go, And we do it all the time. Because every time we lean to our own understanding, we're doing exactly what Lucifer did. We want to be... We say we don't, but we do want control of our own life. You see? When he appealed to the woman, he said, you'd be like gods. There are gods. You can read about it. But there's only one God. Capital G. Amen. You see? Man has been bewitched into rebellion ever since the fall. Who wants to lean to God's understanding?
Nobody.
Those that are in Christ, you've been born again in the Spirit of God. You see? Who wants to do what's right in God's eyes? I'm going to tell you something. God's way doesn't seem natural. It just doesn't. It just does. I read that thing. Y'all remember?
Last
week. And I had to read you that. I think it was Numbers 29. Read Numbers 29. About. He said, on the third day, kill this and kill this. And only use 2/3 of us. And do the wave offering. Do the heave offering. And do this and do this.
And the next day, do it again.
And next way, do it again, only do this and do this. And next day, do it again and do this, you see. The natural man, the Bible says, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Y'all remember that? You find that in 1 Corinthians 3. And before you know it, they come around, they go, well, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Pentecostal. I'm a Catholic. And I'm on it. I was going to look up something the other day, how many denominations there were. Or his brother Dahl, you remember Brother Dahl?
Yeah.
Brother Dahl called them demonizations.
I love that.
Demonizations. Brother Dahl, he's still living.
Yeah.
Brother Brimer. Brother Charles may be here next week. Brother Charles, 93, 4, 5. He's a World War II Marine and still drives, still goes to Mexico. He lives in Waco, drives down here and preaches to us every now and again. He said he might try to come next Sunday. Now, I'm going to tell you something I possess. And I'm not, there's no pride in these things. It's just the way it is. And I pray you do too. I possess the mind of Christ. Not many men say that. They're scared to. It's like when I got chunked out of that's hard to believe, and it got thrown out of a Bible study over here. Because they were all talking about, y'all remember? Oh, well, you know, we're all just sinners. And I go, time out. I said, I'm not a sinner. Oh, man. Might as well throw the hand grenade in there. Well, you're telling us you don't sin. I said, I didn't say that. I said, I'm not a sinner. You know? Just because just because you can ride a horse don't make you a cowboy.
Oh, I get it. I got you.
Okay.
I know where you're going.
Okay. I'm not a sinner. Yeah, I sin. But I'm not a sinner. If I was a sinner, I'd go to hell.
Yep.
I mean, it's plain as that. You know, I love it when I meet Baptists and they go, well, I'm no saint. And I go, well, bless God, you need to get saved. Well, you don't always act like a saint. No, I don't. But I'm a saint. I don't always act like a man. Bless God, I'm a man.
Amen.
You see? And that's the difference. I'm a sheep. I'm not a tare. By the grace of God, I didn't have anything to do with it. I didn't have any more to do with it than I did being born a male. You understand? I mean, that's the way it is. And so, this carnality sets in. But he said, we have, 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ, a new creature. I have a message I want to preach for a while called Obey Them That Have the Rule Over You. I preached this one. That was actually the first one the Lord gave me. The church is a body, is it not? It's a body. That's what the church is. It's a body of believers. Just like this body. And the older I get, the more I grow, the more I know it's like this body. It's like this body. Do you know, look, that my hands have never made a move without me telling them to. And my legs, they've never made a move, my feet, without me telling them to, without my say-so. Not the first step. Not ever, you see. And I'll tell you something else, they hadn't rebelled either. They've been tired. Man, I've asked them to do things that should never ask anybody to do, you see. I've asked them to go farther and do more than they ought to do. But as they are able, they have obeyed my wishes. When the horse split me in half, I didn't think I'd ever walk again. And the body, see, but the mind. The mind. You might say the God of this body. Then no, you don't walk. No, I can't. Yes, you can. I can't. Just like, yes, you can. Yes, you can.
By God's grace.
I know, by God's grace, and the old preacher told me, he said, I heard him preach it many times, he said, whatever, you can do whatever you will do. Physically. See, it's a physical thing. It's a physical thing. That's why even lost people can do things that seem supernatural. You know, I saw an article this week. How far, you know, athletes are so. Man, I was an athlete, and I can't even run as fast as the women do now. They jump higher. You know, they just keep going and going. I'm not saying that's right. What I'm saying is, you whatever you will to do, okay. I mean, lost people go into outer space.
Yes.
Lost people build. You understand what I mean? Who's their God? You should be his gods. You see. But this body. You know, my hands never lean to its own understanding. Isn't that an amazing thing? My legs have never leaned their own understanding. God told Adam, do y'all remember what he told him? He said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Big trouble. She was already naturally smarter than him because she took the first bite. And she did become as a god. She knew good and evil. And he didn't. And as soon as she knew good and evil, then it says she gave to him, remember? And he ate, you see? And then he ate. Have I ever hearkened the voice of my wife? Yeah, of course I have. Gotcha.
Yes, dear.
Gotcha. Yeah, but I'll tell you this. It never went against God. And most often it was a word from God. And she wasn't trying to rule over me at all. She was just a messenger, just like I'm a messenger to you people.
Help me.
Praise God. Help me, you know? And she's German. She still got the first $25 we started on, and I spent mine a long time ago. See? Most of you know what I consider, some of you hadn't been here before, and the two most dangerous words in any language. Y'all know what it is, don't you? I think. Man, when somebody tells me I think, let me tell you what I think, what I always say. If I tell you that, I've got three suppositions. I've got I know. If I tell you I know, you can take it to the bank. It don't matter if you believe it or not. It's what God said. It's something I know. If I tell you I believe, you should sit up and pay attention. But it doesn't necessarily mean it's right, but I believe it. But if I tell you I think, you better duck. You better get under the table. Okay? Because it's a dangerous thing. It's what a man knows that counts. Peter told Christ when many left. You remember what he told him? He looked around and he said, will you go away also? And Peter asked something very important. He said, who we go to? Isn't that kind of the way it is today? It really, really is. I've told people, I said, go on and find you. And they go, who do I go to? Who do I go to? The girl's been around long enough. We went to California one time back in 2000, and I told people in the church, I said, find you a Baptist church or something next week and go. And I said, your homework is come back and tell me what to preach to them. Well, he didn't preach on nothing. I said, did he talk about hell? No. Talk about sin? No. No. I said, what's he preaching on? What did he preach on, you see? And he told, he said, thou hast the words of eternal life. It wasn't what Christ thought. It wasn't what he believed. It's what he knew, you see. What he knew. I can speak of such about God. But I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter to me if you believe it or not. I have experience with God, and there's certain. And if you're God's, and you've been God's for any length of time, you better have some experience with Him, some practical, knowledgeable experience with God. The conclusion of the old matter, old brother Royce. You know, brother Royce passed on. Yeah. I still remember. Not many people you get up to preach, but I remember when Brother Royce got up in Tabernacle and he preached Ecclesiastes 12:13, the conclusion of the whole matter. Y'all know what it is?
Fear God and keep His commandments.
Fear God and keep His commandments. I remember what Glenn Slayton preached. Romans 12:1? Offer your body with your reasonable sacrifice, with your reasonable service.
13:1 or 12,
I think it's 12:1.
It's chapter 12.
Yeah. Now, that advice, to some degree or another, it works everywhere. That fear God and keep His commandments, it'll work for you out in the workplace, in the secular. It worked for you. Okay? It worked for you in marriage. Fear God and keep His commandments. It worked for you raising children. It worked for you in church or civilly. Obey them that have the rule over you and lean not to your own understanding. God spoke to me many years ago. Y'all remember on the mountain in Tennessee? Maybe He just considered He gave me enough. And He did. He gave me enough. And He told me two things. He said, give no thought for tomorrow. He said, son, don't think about tomorrow. Just today. And He said, lean not to your own understanding. You have no idea the weightiness of a command like that. Because we're all thinking about tomorrow. And we're all leaning to our own understanding, you see. Possibly the two least obeyed precepts in the Word of God. Right there. Because there's a way that seems right. There's a way that seems right. After all, is not the entire congregation holy? You see? What? Me obey Him? Melissa's got a book written by, I forget who's pastor's wife, that family, John R. Rice's daughter's. Yeah. And it's called What? Me Obey Him? You know, her husband. I had a woman tell me one time, she said that she'd never bow to any man. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I told her, I said, you'll never bow to God. If you can't bow to a man, you'll never bow to God. And this holds true for a man or a woman. If you don't believe such, then you can go on toward the ways of death. Because that's the way you're headed right there. The way rebellion, the Bible says rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And there's not a man alive that hadn't rebelled against God. It's why we die. When are you going to make peace with Him? When are you going to lay down that sword? I've got everlasting life. I've got eternal life. My rebellion ceased. My war's over. Well, my war with God. This war, it's going on. It's a never-ending war, you see. If you are yet in your sins, yours has not. You are yet then in the ways of death. He said, that's the way of death, boy, when you lean to your own understanding. He said, when you do that's right in your own eyes, he said, that's the way of death. We can go to the graveyard and see that thing. God's made a way. He really, really has. Just let go. Father, I thank you, Lord. You're such a wonderful God, a miraculous God. I'm so grateful. I can just look in the world today. We can pull up the headlines and know this can't be the right way. We can look at turmoil in families, in our own families, children, parents, brothers, sisters. This can't be the right way. Father, I thank you that through the new birth that we might have the mind of Christ. That's incredible. It's one of the most supernatural things that could ever be, is that a man could have Christ Jesus in him. I thank you for this body. Thank you for those that have come. Let us rejoice now in this marvelous, wonderful word. And Father, it'll take us on through this world and on to eternal life with thee. I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.